I'm glad for salvation, and I'm grateful for that song. I want the Lord to be satisfied with me. It don't matter how long you've been saved, don't matter what your occupation is in the Lord, you still have a job to do, and you want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. All right? And so you always have that in the back of your mind. Is the Lord satisfied with me? Is he pleased with my life? Am I doing what he wants me to do? Am I doing it how he wants me to do it? And then is the praise going back to where it belongs? May God help us this morning. I want you to pray for me this morning because I believe I've got something from the Lord. I don't believe this is a coincidence. I don't believe it's a circumstance and situation. I believe that you're here because God brought you here this morning. And so I want you to pray for me because anytime the Lord wants to do something, the enemy wants to oppose that. He wants to come against that. He wants to steal the word of God. He wants to taint or pervert the word of God. We don't want any of that this morning. We want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. And so be praying for me because I want to be pleasing and honoring unto the Lord today. Want you to get what God has for you. I want to get what he has for me. Want you to pray for me. May the Lord help us this morning. There's a word called willpower. Willpower. And that's the title of this discourse. Willpower. I want to say before I get to that, I want you to pray for me, but I want you to think about the fact that there is no safety but in Christ Jesus. All right? There's no help but in Christ Jesus. If we want to do something, it's going to be by him, through him, and for him if it's going to be of any value and of any worth. All right? And so I want us to understand that what happens is we get in these situations in life, and the devil has us in these situations. And I've noticed this, that you come to the people of God and you say, pray for me. You say, pray with me. But if in your heart you're not willing to acknowledge God's greatness, if you're not willing to acknowledge his sovereignty, if you're not willing to acknowledge his will for your life and the fact that he's right and we are wrong, then how can we be helped? May God help us this morning. Lord, have mercy. I deal with folks all the time. They got these issues in the mind, deal with issues in their hearts, and anything else other than God they want to hear, but they don't want to hear about God. You can't say that God, there is no help. You can't say that you can't be helped. What you can say is that you don't want to let God help you. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God can and he will help you. May God help us this morning. He will. All right? But we've got to be willing to allow the Lord to help us. May God help us. I want you to think about something. If you were drowning and you couldn't swim and the sharks were coming in your direction, you're out there in the ocean, and somebody on a ship throw you a life preserving device. Yes. Would you look at that thing and say, man, that thing is ugly. I don't like that device. I don't like the color of that deal. Huh? It's too big. It's too little. I don't appreciate that. Or if you were going down the road and there was certain danger, there was certain, you could come to your demise, but the sign that was written, it was written in black and white. You don't like the colors black and white. And so we're just going to disregard that sign altogether and keep going on. May the Lord help us this morning. God wants to help us. God wants to actually save us, but we have to be willing to accept his help in the way that he's given it and not second guess it. We got to say, Lord, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Will you help me? Will you bless me? Will you be with me, Lord? I need you, Lord. May God help us this morning. Psalms 46 and 1, what does that say? Talks about God, doesn't it? God is our refuge and what? He's our strength, a very present help in trouble. So I want to tell you this morning that if you're in trouble, I want you to listen in, want you to listen up. God has something to tell you this morning. All right. God led me to a scripture when I was looking at these scriptures, and it's in 1 Peter 4 and 11. I want you to really listen to what I'm telling you this morning, because this is what a lot of people's issue is. We want to do it. We want to do it, and we want to have the credit for it. And so we are working on our willpower. We believe that we have the will and we have the power to do it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we don't. It's not about my will. It's about His will. It's not about my power. It's about His power. And we'll get into that. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 11, what does it say? All right, any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. All right? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And ever. All right. And so what we need to understand here is what can happen is God has called us to something, right? God has called me not only to minister, but to be a pastor. But I cannot forget that it's God that's doing this thing. All right. I don't want to be up here not one time if God isn't with me. I don't want to be up here if God did not direct me to do this. All right? And so what needs to happen is, in this scripture it says, if any man speak, I can't even speak. Literally, I can open my mouth, attempt to speak, but lest God give me the ability to speak, then I can't speak. He said, if any man minister, I can have all of these great thoughts and these great ideas, but if God, the Bible says, except God build the house, the labor, they're laboring in vain. You understand? So I need the Lord to lead and guide and direct me. And most importantly, I need to remember that it's not me, it's Him. It's Him, it's Him, it's Him. May the Lord help us this morning. And so He led me to this, to encourage me, to help me to know that this is what He wanted me to preach on this morning. And so I said, Lord, how can I do it, Lord? I need You to help me. And He's been helping me ever since. Praise God. He's been helping me ever since. All right, Philippians 4 and 13, what does that say? Somebody else get John 3 and 30. And so you got Philippians 4 and 13, and then you got John 3 and 30. Be praying for me. See, he's trying to trip me up is what he's trying to do. But we're not having any of that this morning. We're going to go on for the Lord by the grace and help of God. Who has Philippians 4 and 13? Go ahead and read if you beat me there. I can do all things. All right, I love this scripture. All right. It says, as long as I've got Christ on board, as long as He's with me, I can do all things. But do we truly believe that? See, what happens is that God gives us a will. All right? And the will is the ability to choose. And the thing about God is He's so gracious and so plenteous in mercy that He gives us a portion of strength. He gives us a portion of mental capacity. He gives us our day. And so what ends up happening is ever since you've been born, without even thinking about it, the next day you still was born. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. That makes sense? And then also, we get used to it. What we do is, because we have a will, and because we have choice, what we do is we began to believe that the will that God has given me, because even that is given, God gave that to us. The will that God has given me, it's my own. And so therefore, what I want to do, I can do in my life, which is true. But is it what is good for my soul? Is it good for my soul? So we begin to get misunderstanding. God gives us choice, but He doesn't necessarily give us power. All right? You and I can set in our hearts, in our minds, to do something, And then we can go forth and begin to try to do that thing. And we are met with opposition. We are met with obstacle and situation and circumstance. And we're unable to do that thing. Or the Lord can just literally, like he did Samson, and we'll talk about him later on in the message, but like he did Samson, the strength that God gave him, because we disobey the Lord, because it's not God's will, what I'm doing, God begins to take away even what he has given us. You see? And so what happens is because we walk around making these choices, we feel like it's ours to make the choice of what it is that we want to do, when in reality, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. Jesus Christ upon Mount Calvary paid the debt that we owe. And so therefore, we belong to God. If you are unhappy in your life, it could be because you don't understand that you belong to God. And so the decisions and the choices that you're making, that he allows you and I to make, you need to have a mind shift. You need to come to a place where you understand that unless God allowed me to do, I can't do. Unless God bless me, I'm not going to be blessed, and I'm not going to be a blessing. You understand what I'm saying? And so in John 3 and 30, what does it say? What does it say in John 3 and 30? This is what has to happen. Say it again. He must increase and I must decrease. And so what has to happen is we got to bring ourselves down. We got to come down. We got to come down, and we got to stop thinking that what I want to do is so important and my agenda, I got to get out of that. And Lord, what is your will for my life? Because Lord, if you don't give me what I need, I can't do it anyway. If it's not your will, it's not good for me anyway. And so Lord, help me, Lord, with the will that you give me, help me to give it back to you. My life, my love, I give to thee. What does it say? O Lamb of God, what else? Who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be my Savior and my God. You understand? That's the mindset. And so because we have choice, we began to believe that we also have power. And then we began to go about our lives in that way. And we find out, even as Christians, sometimes we are thinking that we are in the will of God, and we're not. We are thinking that we are God's power is in our life. And what we find out is that my strength that God has allotted me is competing with the strength that God has for me. May the Lord help us. I'm going to prove it to you. Stick with me this morning by the grace and help of God. The world has joined will and power together. Christians need to separate those words. Will is the faculty by which a person decides on and initiates action. All right. So plainly, it means when I make a choice. All right. Initiate means you began to try to go and do that thing, that what you wanted to do, you began to make an effort to do it. All right. And then power means the capacity or the ability to do something, or the physical strength and force exerted by something or someone. All right. So it's the strength that it takes to get something done. Either you can have power but not use it. Right. But if the power is there, or something that needs to be done, you look at this job and you say it's going to take this amount of power, this amount of strength to get this thing done. All right. And so that's power as well. All right. So we have to understand that we can have the will to do something, but not the power. And then, and conversely, we can have the power to do something, but not the will. All right. Both of those things can be an issue and a problem in our lives because, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to be pleasing and honoring you. And I want to go to heaven at the end of the day. But if my will is not aligned with God's will, then I'm saying this with my mouth, but with my life and my actions, I'm doing something different, am I not? All right. And so why would God's power rest upon you and upon me because in my disobedience? Why would it do that? And then sometimes we have the power. God has already given it to us like he did Samson. And again, we're going to talk about him, but God has already given us something. He's given us the ability to sing or we're intelligent or whatever it is. We've got something that God said, I'm going to give you this talent, but the talent, we're taking it and we think that it's ours to use to our own benefit and to the benefit of others. And then what we end up having to do, we find out that we keep running against the same wall because we're not using this, what God has given us to be what he would have us to be with it, to do what he would have us to do with it. May the Lord help us this morning. May God help us this morning. God wants us to understand that whatever he gives us is his anyway. You can't have it unless God give it to you. And if you got it, it's for a reason. He has a reason for it. And it's always for him first. Always. We talked about this morning the love of money. All right? Money is not the root of all evil. See, y'all got quiet. But that's what the world says. Money is the root of all evil. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. If money was the root of all evil, anybody that's using money is evil. You see? And so that's how the devil tricks people. Read your scripture and see what it's really saying. What place of value do you have on the money, right? Is the money more important than you living for the Lord? So anything that God gives us, we are to find out, what is it that you want me to do with this, Lord? All right? All right, before I make a choice on what I'm going to do, Lord, what is your will in my life? All right. Amen. Listen, you don't say it, I'm going to say it. I know it's the truth. Because if we don't, then what happens is we go off in our own way and we began to be like Nebuchadnezzar. We began to be like Samson and we began to start thinking that I'm doing this by my might and my power. And we began to be like the rich man in the parable. The Lord said, thou fool, this day your soul will be required of you. He had the barns, didn't he? Yeah. He had the goods, didn't he? He had so much that he was trying to figure out what he was going to do with all the excess that he had. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what would he give in exchange for his soul? And so what happens is that enemy comes in and he tries to get us to take our own way, our own agenda. And then at the end of that thing, he knows that God's way and God's agenda is going to take a back seat. And at the end of that thing, the Bible says there's a way that seemed right to a man. But what else does it say? But the end thereof are the ways of what? The ways of death. The consequence is death, not only in the natural sense, because we all die, but it's talking about eternal death. Yeah. See, you're going to get either eternal life or you're going to get eternal death. Yeah. All right. And so may the Lord have mercy on us this morning and help us out in a very special way. Lord, help us. James 4 and 14. James 4 and 14 and verse number 15 as well. All right. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
What is your life?
What's your life? It's not very long. It's there for a little bit. All right. Right. If the Lord will. Go ahead. Amen. And so we have to have a mind shift. Again, what is God's will in my life? What is God's will in my life? My mother used to say, Lord willing. She used to say all kinds of things. Lord willing. Sometimes even in things that we know to be good, things that we know to be right, we have to back up and say, Lord, hold on. Is this what you want me to do right here, right now? You say, wait a minute now. The Lord done told you. Lord, help us. God has a will and purpose for our lives. And some people are out here doing all the good. You see? All the things that will make us feel good about ourselves. But God's will is on the back burner for our lives. May the Lord help us. It's a counterfeit. It's a trick is what it is. We feel good. We think we're doing good. But when we get to the end of that thing, we haven't done the will of the Lord. And so then we're in trouble. May God help us this morning. May He bless us and be with us. We can't guarantee tomorrow. We can't guarantee the next breath. And so, Lord, shift our minds. Shift our minds, Lord, and help us out into thinking on the right way. What do we actually own? What do we actually possess? God gives us our will, and He allows us that. He won't take it away from us. But at the same time, we have to understand that if we make choices that are to our own detriment, we can't blame God for that. He gives us instructions, doesn't He? He gives us help, don't He? Then we can do right if we want to. It's up to us if we're going to do it, and we're going to do it consistently to the saving of our own souls. In Philippians 2:12, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye has always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," it says, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Another place it says, "my soul is continually in my hands." And so what we have is we have a soul, and that we have to understand that it's on me. It's my responsibility what I do with my soul. My choices directly affect my soul destination and my relationship with God. All right. And so when we're going about life, we need to be thinking about, what am I currently doing? I'm talking about right now today with the matter of my soul. Yes. All right. It's in my own hands. It's my responsibility. All right. I have God to help me to make heaven my home. He sent Jesus to come down here to save us from our sins. All right. And so I have to make a choice that's good for my soul. If I don't do that, then how? I can't be mad at God. I can't be mad at God's people. I can't be mad at nobody else. I can be mad at myself because I didn't make the right choice. Even if it's difficult, that choice is difficult for me to make. Even if there's a hardship that is associated with it, I still can make heaven. I still can be a Christian by the grace and help of God. God will help me, but it's on me. I have to make that choice. All right? And so I want us to understand that I've got to work out my salvation, my own salvation. So many people are working out other people's salvation. They're more concerned with somebody else's relationship with God and what they're doing and not doing than what they're doing with their own relationship with God. Lord, help us. You can't save nobody. You didn't die for nobody. You understand? Worry about your own salvation. And if the Lord gives you something to do, He's going to do it in a way that you understand that, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm bad off my own self. And so when I come to somebody else, I'm going to come with them in love. I'm going to come with them with truth. I'm going to come, most importantly, because God has sent me, and I'm going to do it in a way that will be helpful to them. Yeah. All right. May the Lord have mercy, and may He bless us this morning. All right. We have to know what the Lord's will is for our lives and be concerned with doing His will. All right. Once we do that, then what God does is He obligates Himself to providing us the strength and the power, whatever is needed in order to be successful. Yeah. All right. So what happens is, even those that are saved, many times what they're doing is they are living their salvation on their own will power. I'm just disciplined. That's what they say. I'm very disciplined. I got a strong will. I'm going to tell the devil no and punk him around. That's how that's going to work. You can't do it. You can't do it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imagination, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So that scripture applies here. What we're talking about is doing more than saying I want to do right, doing more than trying to do right. Yes. Do you understand? Yes. But allowing the Lord to come in, take up possession in our hearts, in our minds, in our very being, and submitting ourselves to His will, yes. Submit thyself therefore unto God. What now? Resist the devil and he will flee. All right. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. And so what happens is you got people that are well-meaning. They want to be saved. They want to live right. They want to do right. But they haven't gotten a place where they have submitted their will unto God. And so the power that would be available is not available. And so when they come against certain things, they fall flat. And that's all right. I'm not saying that I've never fell flat. I've done this too. But I've found that God's power comes through me submitting myself unto God. All right? If I deny myself, then I can take up my cross and follow him. So what happens is we're coming to the cross and we're not willing to take that cross up because we haven't denied ourselves yet. We haven't allowed the Lord to have his place in our lives as number one. His will, his way is number one. And so as long as there's competition, we're going to have trouble in our lives. All right. But when we get to the place where we say, Lord, I mean it, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to die for you. What you want for me, I want. What you don't want for me, Lord, I don't want. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. When we get to that place, that's where the power comes. You understand? He's going to back that. All right, he's going to come in and give you strength and power. Your attitude is going to change. Your mindset is going to change. How people look, they're going to change. I said how people look, they're going to change. You start seeing people as needing the Lord instead of dirty and nasty and foul-mouthed and foul-acting. You start seeing that they need salvation. I can pray for that person. Instead of running from them and not dealing with them, may the Lord help us this morning. If we don't show Christ, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. How are we going to lift up Christ if we're too afraid to deal with the undesirable? Is that what Jesus Christ did? If he did that, then tell me what happened with Legion then. You see what I'm saying? Legion was full of the devil, wasn't he? But God was submitted. Jesus Christ was submitted to the will of God. And so God's power backed him. Now, I'm not telling you go try to cast out some devils. I ain't telling you that. Don't go to go home and say I said that. I didn't say that. Unless you got the power of God in your life. And you'll know you have the power of God in your life when you have submitted to the will of God. Yes. Now, you can submit to the will of God today. Yes. What about tomorrow, though? Amen. Yes. You see, it's something that we have to maintain. It's a mindset. Yes. All right? It's something that we have to keep on our minds at all times. And the Lord will help us with that. But if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the Lamb. If we refuse and rebel, it ain't going to be good for us. No. All right? And so what God wants to do is to help us to understand that it's his will that's most important. It's his power that backs his will. And that's where Christian success takes place. Yeah. All right? If you're going up and down and you're in and out, you want to stop doing that, submit yourself to God. Yeah. Lord, take my life. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm giving, because he won't. The thing about God, it's good, but I wish it was different. I wish I could once and for all say, Lord, Lord, help me. Just take my, I don't care what you do to me, Lord. I just want to go to heaven. Whatever you got to do, just do that. But there's tomorrow, though. I can do that today, and I can mean it today. But I gotta, tomorrow is coming if he gives it to me. And so I've got to make that same consecration tomorrow. When I pray, before I go out in the morning by the help of the Lord, I say, Lord, I want you to be what you'd have me to be. I want to be pleasing and honoring unto you. This is your day. If I find myself with an attitude or thoughts that are not like you, I'm asking you to help me to resist that, to overcome that. Right? Because just because you said it don't mean the devil gonna believe it. He's gonna challenge that. And until now, here's the beauty now. Let me not take God, heaven out of the equation. Put heaven back in the equation. If you are successful as a child of God and God's stamp of approval rests upon your life when you leave here, no more temptation. No more devil. No more have to no more self. None of that stuff. All of that stuff is past. All right? And so you get to live and be with the Lord forevermore. So that's what it's about. May the Lord help us this morning. I'm hoping that this is helping. I know it's helping me. I hope it's helping you. All right. We don't want our own will. We don't want our own power. We want His will and His power. We can think we're doing the will of the Lord, but if we're not, then we're just pretty much spinning our wheels. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. I want to tell you something. My aim and my goal is to make heaven my home. Now, I want to I'm going to tell you something else. What the way I see it, this may be wrong, but I believe it's right. The way I see it is, it's just like a parent and a child. That child that intends to do right, they want to do right, they're trying to do right, God is going, the parent is going to extend grace and mercy. Even if he has to correct that child, he has to discipline that, whatever it is, there's still going to be grace and mercy. He's not going to cast that child away. And so what I do is very important in terms of what my relationship with God is. People always talk about how good God is. Is he good enough to live for, though? Is he good enough to obey? Is he good enough to give your life to? Is he that good, or is he just good enough to save you from hell, but that's it, though? I know these are kind of hard words, but I want you to think about them. Don't get offended at me, and don't get offended at the truth. If it's good enough, if God is good, then live for him then, by the grace and help of God. I'm going to do it. By his help, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give him my life because he is that good. May God help us this morning. And so we as children, he said, be ye therefore followers of God as what? Not just children. Did you notice that? Dear children, a dear child, you call them and you say, son, daughter, will you do this for me? And they get right on it. Or they forget about it, but then when you remind them, they don't have some excuse. They say, daddy, mama, I'm sorry, I messed that up, but I'm going to do it now, though. I'm going to do it right now. You see? May the Lord help us this morning. My relationship with God has a lot to do with what I'm willing to allow him to do in my life. I said what I'm willing to do. All right? And if I assume that it's my power and my strength, I've got it all wrong. Matthew 16:24, what does it read? Any man will come after me, let him do what? And do what else? All right, and follow me. So I got to be willing to allow the Lord to help me. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, today, it's very difficult to deny yourself. But the Bible says that it's God that worketh in us, both to what? To will and to do of his good pleasure. So denying myself is something that I'm working on a daily basis. And I'm asking the Lord to help me to deny myself. I'm asking him to help me. A cross is not something that anybody wants to walk around with. We don't want that. Raise your hand if you want to put a cross on your back and walk around with it. I don't see no hands. But this is God's way. Jesus Christ did it for you and for me. He's our example, so I'm going to have to do it too. If I got to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and I got to pray three times while everybody else is sleeping, I've got to do it because I want to take up my cross and follow him, and I want to deny myself, and I know it's not easy. I need the Lord to help me to do it. Amen. But it starts with the choice that I have. And I can make a good choice in and concerning the matter of my soul. All right. So denying myself is a Christian walk. All right, so we're going to get to Samson, and we're going to sit down. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. We're going to Judges 26. Listen, I don't mean to over-talk it, but I want you to get a hold of something. I'm not saying I'm the best preacher or anything like that, but I want to give you what the Lord has given me, and I'm asking the Lord to take it and work with it in a way in your heart and in your mind where you can get a hold of something that'll help you not only for now but for eternity. All right, where is it at? Judges 16, and we're going to only read chapters 26, verse number 26. And we'll read on down, but read six, start at 16 and give me verse number 26, please.
And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand,
all right.
Suffer me that I may build the pillars whereof the house standeth,
all right.
That I may lean upon them.
All right.
Now the house was full of men and women.
All right.
And all the horses of the Philistines. All right. And there were
upon
the roof about 3,000 men and women.
All right.
That beheld while Samson made sport. All right. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me.
Yes.
I pray thee.
Yes.
And strengthen me, I pray thee.
Yes.
Only this one.
Yes. All right, pause there for me. All right, we're talking about Samson, right? Samson, the strongest man that ever lived. Yeah. Strongest man that ever lived. And what that means is there's nobody that's going to be stronger than him now, and there was nobody stronger than him before him. He's the strongest man that ever lived. Read about his feats. And so what God had done, Samson was given, he was one of those ones that was given to God. His mother said, I'm giving you back to him. She prayed for him. He came and she gave him back to God, right? And so God blessed him especially with the understanding that he was not to cut his hair. You don't cut your hair. It was a covenant between him and God. All right. And so God, what he will do is he'll give you strength. He'll give you power. He'll give you whatever it is that you need to be pleasing and honoring unto him. But he's going to make a covenant with you when he does that. When you give your heart to the Lord, all of the host of heaven is behind you. Did you know that? The great God of heaven is on your side. Jesus Christ that rose from the dead that we talked about a few weeks ago. And when he rose, all power, all glory, and all might that exists, he had dominion over everything. Everything is under his feet, even death. All right, that was given to him. All right, and so when you give your heart to the Lord, that's who you're living for. That's who's on your side. And so you got all power you'll ever need. All right, and so what happened was there was a covenant between Samson and God. He said, don't cut your hair. What can happen is when we start messing around with the enemy camp, what ends up happening is we break our covenant with the Lord. All right? Samson saw this beautiful woman. And this beautiful woman, she was a Philistine. Now, Samson's goal and purpose in life was to put it on them Philistines. Them Philistines were the enemies of the Israelites. And so God made Samson especially to be able to go out, and he did that. One time he slew I don't know how many people with a jawbone of an ox, a donkey, something like that. Yeah. He out there on the battlefield whooping on soldiers with he ain't got no knife, he ain't got no gun, he ain't got nothing. He got a jawbone, and he whopping people. Right. All right? Yeah. Imagine that. All right. And so God made him like that. But you have to understand that strength that God had given him, he didn't give it to him for no reason. He didn't give it to him so that he can go out and waste it and use it. And see, this is what happens. God gave you something. I promise you God gave you something or some things. I know that. The problem is when our will gets in the way, when we start messing around with the enemy camp, that Philistine woman, he knew he had no business dealing with that woman. What you need to understand about them is they were the enemies of God's people. And not only that, they were idol worshipers and they would sacrifice the kids, all that. Read about it. Don't let me tell you. Read about it. This is what they were doing. And so what happened was, is God had a will and purpose in his life, but God knows that once you start going over to the enemy camp, then you're going to start taking in some ideas and some mindsets. You're going to get involved in some things that God can't leave all that strength and power with you, because now you can use it for wrong.
Right.
Y'all get that? So he gives us our will, but he wants us to give it back to him. He wants us to give it back to him because it's for our good anyway. Our life, it will be better with God, period. That's all I have to say about that. And the power that we need, the strength that we need, whatever it is, you fill in the blank, we're going to have that as long as we're on the Lord's side. But when we began to dabble, then not only will the will of God be hindered, but now the strength and the power and the blessing that God had for his life, that was derailed. All right? The other thing that happened is, well, we read about Samson. He said he wanted to be avenged of his two eyes. What happened to his eyes? God took that strength away from him because he disobeyed. She found out the secret. They cut his hair. That broke the covenant. They brought him into captivity. They never could have brought him into captivity. He became a slave to the Philistines. They had him in some basement somewhere doing some menial labor, chained to something, and they poked his eyes out. Why am I making a big deal about this? Believe that. When you go on the other side, not only do you lose all what God has for you in your life, because it's not just what you already had, but what else does he have for you? Think about that. But there will be loss. There will be consequence. So he's down in somebody, the people that he was whooping on, he's down in their basement. When they said they made sport of him, that means they were laughing at him and ridiculing him. Say, look at this. This guy was so great. Now look at him. He's chained to this deal. Think about the chain. What does that mean? He's in bondage now. What does eyesight mean when you lose your, you might not lose your actual eyes, but what is spiritual blindness? Okay. You with me? All of these things happen when we go away from God. When we began to believe that my will is what needs to happen. It's my strength. It's my power. I'm going to use it how I want to. Lord, help us. What is God's will in my life? What's his purpose? Lord, help me to submit to that. Because that's the best place for me. May the Lord help us. Read for me, please. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars. So remember, he said, oh, Lord, God, remember me. So he's praying now. See, if he had been praying then he wouldn't have been worried about that woman. He wouldn't have been worried about the enemy camp. He would have been avoided all of this foolishness. But he's praying now. He's been humbled. He's come to a place. Thank God for the place of humility.
Yes.
At least he can get some good out of it. And so it says in verse number 25, what does it say? 29, excuse me. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood. All right, and so these are the pillars that is the main pillars that's supporting the integrity of the house.
Right.
Go ahead.
And of the one of his right hand,
all right.
The other with his left.
Okay, one in his right, one in the left. So he's in between, and he's got the pillars like this. Go ahead.
And Samson said,
let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's. Upon the people that were therein.
So
the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Remember, his goal and purpose and aim in life was to deal with those Philistines. And then once he humbled himself and got himself back into a place where God wanted him to be, guess what? The strength came back. He pushed against those pillars. The house fell. He perished. And so there's loss there. God never intended for that to happen. There's loss there. I want you to understand that. But he dealt with all of those Philistines that was in that house. They also perished as well. All right? And so what happens is, I want you to understand, especially young people, but all of us. When you're in the will of God, God can bless your life. He will bless your life. He'll give you strength and courage and power and might. Make sure that you do his will. Make sure that you understand that it's him that's doing it. And so he's the one that gets the credit. All right. But if you get in a place where you've lost your way, okay, you're off the path that God has you on and you've lost your way. If you get in that place, what you need to do is find a place of prayer and say, Lord, I've messed up. I messed up bad. And I'm in this place just like the prodigal son. I'm over here with the pigs and the swine. I'm eating the husk off of corn. Yeah. All the blessings that I have wasted, they're all gone now, Lord. But Lord, if you'll have mercy on me. Yeah. Here's the key to all that, though. You got to realize your condition right. In a timely manner.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's too late. Can it be too late while you're still here? I'm asking.
Yes.
Let's God have mercy on those that have lost their minds. How can they do business with God if their minds are gone? How can I do business with God if the loss that I have incurred by disobeying the Lord and being out in the world, how can I do business with God when I've done all these things against him and the devil tells me all the time, you've done too much. He won't forgive you. You think the devil does that?
He does.
He won't forgive you. He won't take you back. You're too dirty. I'm telling you what's happening. There are people that God will save. There are people that God will restore, but they don't believe it. All right? I'm here to tell you this morning that he will save you. I'm here to tell you that he will save you. He will deliver you. And what do you got to lose anyway? Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. That's your scripture. Chase him. Seek him while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. You do the effort. Well, see, there's a time in our life where God calls after us.
Right.
You see. But when we tell the Lord repeatedly that we don't want him,
right.
When we continually disobey him, then guess what? Even if God is still calling, our conscience is seared. And so he's still calling, but he doesn't seem to be as near as he was before. We can't hear him as well.
Yeah.
You see? So if you find yourself in that situation, then you need to do the calling.
Yeah.
You need to do the seeking. You need to do whatever it is you need to do. You need to have the mindset and the idea, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
God will save you. He'll deliver you and he'll help you. If he's talking to you right now, you think he's talking to you, but he won't save you? You think he sent his Holy Spirit all the way down here to talk to you, but he don't want to help you? Does that make sense to you?
No.
Not me either. May the Lord help us this morning. I want you to get anything. If you get anything out of this, I want you to get a hold of this. God's willing and able to help you out. You do have will, but you don't have power, not without God.
Right.
Even the strength and the power that he gives you, he gave you that.
Yeah.
And we can waste that too. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you this morning that there's time and opportunity to get it right with God. I mean, get it right with God right now, today.
Yeah.
Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the devil telling you what you can't do.
No.
You're going to do all things through Christ anyway. He's going to be the one that strengthens you.
Right.
So don't listen to him. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. If you're struggling, if you're in a bad situation in terms of you've gone away from the Lord, you've been disobedient, come bow at an altar of prayer. God's going to meet you there. I believe that you could come and bow at an altar of prayer by yourself, and God could meet you there and deliver you. The reason why we come down and pray with you, just in case the devil show up and try to do something, then we'll be there to help assist, because one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. So we'll be down there to assist and help and pray against what the enemy's trying to do while the Lord's dealing with your heart. Amen. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me.